Open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14. It's great singing. Thank you for being here this morning and for participating in worship. Imagine your sister comes to see you. She's got a swollen lip, and she's trying to hide a black eye with her sunglasses. When she finally admits that her husband hits her, she has an explanation. Oh, he's got a terrible temper, but he loves me. And you're thinking, oh, sister, this is not how love acts. Or imagine a man claiming to have the love of a son for his parents. But you know that his parents are alone and neglected. And the son is traveling on holidays, spending their money, but not going to see them. And you're thinking, son, this is not how love acts. When we were in Israel, we went past the place where Samson lived. Do you remember Samson? The big, strong guy. Samson and... Can you hear Delilah? Oh, Samson, I love you. Don't you love me? I love you. If you love me, you'll tell me the secret to your strength. And as Delilah is binding him with cords and ropes and weaving his hair and cutting it off, you read in the story in the text, you want to cry out, Samson, you big ignorant lug, wake up. This is not how love acts. See, you know, when it comes to our relationships in family and with other people, that love is more than emotion and words. But love behaves, love acts, like Paul says. Love is patient, love is kind, does not act unbecomingly. Love is about behavior, it's about action. And what we're going to consider this morning from the teaching of Jesus is that that is not merely true when it comes to our relationships with other people, but it's also true in our relationship with the Lord. Love acts. It behaves. And we begin to learn that lesson in the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 14. How does love for Jesus act? Well, we express our love for Jesus through our emotions, don't we? That's legitimate. Tears sometimes, warm feelings, passion, eyes closed in worship. Love has an emotional component. We express our love in our words. When we love Jesus, we say it. We pray it. We sing it. That's appropriate. But isn't there something more stable than emotion? Something more reliable than words? How does love act? I remember a song that I learned to sing when I was a little boy. I learned later it's a song as old as the nation, an anonymous song. And the words, I love you, are repeated over and over again as if to challenge the significance of saying it over and over again. I love thee, I love thee, I love thee, my Lord. I love thee, my Savior, I love thee, my God. I love thee, I love thee. And that thou dost know. But how much I love thee, my actions will show. And there's a Bible truth to that. How do we act when we love Jesus? In a word, obedience. That's not real glamorous. But love obeys. And this is a truth as old as the Old Testament. Remember, the first king of Israel was a king named Saul. And the Lord gave Saul a commandment. He said, Saul, I want you to go fight the Amalekites. They've been sinning against me for generations. And it's time for them to be destroyed. I want you to fight them. I'm going to give you victory. I want you to destroy everything. Don't keep any of it. And Saul obeyed the Lord, partly. Remember, he attacked the Amalekites. He won the victory. He destroyed much that was worthless and not good to keep. But he kept the king alive as an expression of his pride. And he kept the best possessions as an expression of his greed. He disobeyed. And then comes the prophet Samuel. Oh, Samuel, I'm so glad to see you. I've obeyed everything you told me to do. And remember, Samuel said, well, what's that bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen that I hear? Saul made excuses. He had explanations. But Samuel said, you know what? The Lord would have been more pleased if you had just done what he said. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. We express our devotion to the Lord by obeying him. And here in John chapter 14, verse 15, we find a similar statement from the Lord Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's a great memory verse. Great memory verse. In fact, anybody under 12 here that will memorize John 14, 15, Pastor Ray Griffin will give you a free certificate for a Brahms ice cream cone. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, think about this verse carefully with me. We've been walking through the farewell discourse, which is what John gives us from the teaching ministry of Jesus from the end of chapter 13 all the way through the high priestly prayer in chapter 17. We've got a lot of material to cover as we talk about our life in this world as his disciples. But as I studied this paragraph, I found verse 15 so compelling, so sharp, so insightful, that I decided just to focus on one verse this morning. So this is all we're going to look at. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, before we do anything else, I want you to notice how Jesus makes a bold claim for our exclusive devotion. He talks like he's God here. Right? But this is not something a carpenter from Galilee says. He claims our exclusive devotion. It's the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, the King of Israel, who says, love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. But now here Jesus says, let me tell you how you're going to relate with me. Love me with all your heart. And so Jesus here is really exalting himself in a remarkable way. People who reject a high view of Christ, his divinity as the Son of God and Savior of all mankind, have a problem with even a simple statement like this. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's a strong talk. Well, how should we understand John chapter 14, verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. We often hear it as a commandment. Jesus is calling us to keep his rules. It's an imperative, we think, a commandment. While I am gone, obey me. Like what Mama says when she's leaving the house, right? While I'm gone, keep the rules. Do what I say. A commandment. The problem with that is the grammar here is not imperative. This is not a commandment. This is a conditional statement that assumes neither that the disciples do or do not love Jesus. Jesus is just stating this fact. And the fact is this. People who really love me are people marked by obedience. So this text does not say, if you love me, keep my commandments, commandment, imperative. The text says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's a statement of fact. And so we discover that it's better to understand the teaching of Jesus here, not as so much as a commandment, but as it, what it is really, is a sharp, clear indictment. This verse exposes and challenges us like few statements in all the teaching of Jesus. When we understand that what Jesus is saying is, in part, talk is cheap. Anyone can say and sing and pray their love for me. But if you love me, that love will ultimately be expressed in obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. And so, when we look at a life marked by rebellion, when we look at lives clinging to areas of clear disobedience, we're forced to admit this is not how love acts. Do you remember that time that Jesus looked Peter in the eye and asked, do you love me? You remember that? It's John chapter 21. We'll get there after Easter. I can go ahead and talk about it now because you'll forget about it by then. All right. Do you remember the context? Peter is in Galilee where he's from. He's on the boat like he used to live. He's fishing his old way of life. He says, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after Jesus appeared and showed that he's there in all of his glory and called them to serve him, he's back home, back in the boat. He's gone fishing. And Jesus looks at Peter and asks, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But I think that both Peter and Jesus were remembering the same thing. Jesus had called Peter to leave the fishing boat and follow Jesus. Jesus had called Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me, but when you are restored, I want you to strengthen your brothers. I want you to be the leader. I want you to pursue this mission to make disciples of all nations. Peter's back in Galilee fishing. And so Jesus says, Peter, isn't it interesting? Not, Peter, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? Doesn't say that. Instead, he asks, do you love me? Do you love me? Because obedience is an issue of the heart. It's a matter not primarily of discipline or knowledge or willpower, but love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus says. And so as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do well to imagine Jesus looking us in the eye and asking, do you love me? And before we answer, we keep in mind how we treat our families and how we live at work, our behavior at school, our words and our deeds. And there are seasons in life when before we answer, we choke almost because we realize that our behavior is not indicative of love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some of you are living in rebellion. I mean, there are areas and aspects of your life which are not pleasing to Christ. They run contrary to His teaching, His way, His commandments. You know it, and the people around you know it, but you're just clinging to them, tolerating them as a part of your life, and you think it's an issue of breaking a rule. You imagine that it's just a matter of discipline. But what the blessed Lord Jesus has to say this morning is that it is an issue of your heart. Because if you love Him, you will be marked by obedience to Him. So either you're right or Jesus is right. Either your disobedience is not a big deal, or it's a window into the very condition of your heart and your affection to the blessed Savior. If you love Him, you obey Him. That's a fact with which we must deal. And any form of worship, any lifestyle called Christian that doesn't measure up with this standard is a farce. This is not how love acts. So it's better to understand this not as commandment, but as an indictment. And it does expose us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But even best of all, I think John chapter 14, verse 15 can be embraced as a promise. What Jesus says here, it moves to the very heart of the gospel promise. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Hey, that's a promise. This is a spiritual and moral reality. The man, the woman, the person who deeply, consistently, sincerely loves Jesus will live a life that's marked by obedience. Now here's a truth that sets us free. Jesus wants the disciples to understand, listen, your life in me is not about legalism, keeping the rules and as an expression of your worth or your position or your prestige. Your life as my disciple is not legalism. Your life is about love. Not a love that is a license to sin, but a love that constrains us. And when you live your life with full-hearted devotion to me, when you love me with all your heart and soul and mind, then you don't have to worry about keeping a list of 5,000 different rules. Because if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It will constrain and compel you to be the person that I've called you to be. And we're going to talk more about this even in the farewell discourse. Do you know what I learned in Israel? Even today, Orthodox Jews live by a list of rules, laws, commandments. Do you know how many? They can list them for you. They've eliminated a whole handful of them because they're related to temple worship. There's no temple. So they just live by what's left over. You know how many are left over? 613. You can't remember 10, can you? All right? 613 commandments that they need to know, they need to apply, they need to be aware of, they need to keep. Some of you have so much moral pride that if I gave you 613 commandments, you would delight in trying to keep them. And every time you kept one, you'd be puffed up with pride. You're a rule keeper. But what Jesus is saying to a people who delight in keeping rules, listen, a Christian is not a rule keeper. A Christian is one of mine. Oh, their behavior is holy and distinctive. They live in the boundaries. They're a people set apart to me. But their governor in life is not keeping the rules. They love me so much that they're compelled to live in a manner that's pleasing in my sight. Since they love me, they keep my commandments. You see how this moves to the heart of the gospel? It's what sets biblical Christianity apart from all the other man-made religions in the world striving after God. This is not a religion of rules, but of a vital relationship with Jesus. We love Him so much that obedience flows from our heart and life. If you have a problem with obedience, you have a problem in the heart. A problem with your heart. Because if you live in love with Jesus, you live a life marked by obedience. This is a teaching of the Lord. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. How can we make ourselves love Jesus? I mean, how can we control our heart? How can we make ourselves love Jesus? The truth is, sometimes I find myself loving myself, or loving success, or loving acceptance, the highest value of some other thing. How can I make myself love Jesus with all my heart and soul and mind and strength? As I study the scriptures, I think I discover that old John, who wrote our gospel, in some ways he spent his lifetime thinking about that question. If it's true that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments, and how can we make sure we love Him? And long after Jesus gave this command, John took pen in his hand and wrote these words. In this is love. Not that we love Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because He first loved us. You set yourself down at the foot of the cross of Jesus and consider what He has done for sinners like you and like me. It's there at the foot of the cross that we find our hearts compelled to love Him. And loving Him, we obey Him. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hearts are changed because of what He did on Calvary. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, we thank You for Jesus, our blessed Savior. We give You thanks, Lord. We worship You and we declare together that you love us, that you sent your Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And that love always starts with you. That if we love, it's only because you first loved us. Father, I pray that we'd be a holy people, a people set apart, a people marked by obedience, but not the puffed up, proud obedience of legalism, the humble, grateful obedience of love. We love you, Jesus. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing one of the great hymns of the faith this morning in response to God's word. We're going to take our stand at the foot of the cross and sing of His love for us. And for many of you here this morning, just singing the text of this great song will move you to love Jesus. Because He first loved you. That's a great way to respond to God's word. Some of you here need to join our church. When we stand and sing in a moment, if you'll come forward, we'll help you with that commitment. Some of you here are living in rebellion. There's a relationship, there's a pattern, there's a behavior that you've embraced, you're tolerating. And you realize this morning, it's not a small thing. It's rebellion against the one who loves you. Because of your love for the blessed Lord Jesus this morning, you're called to obedience. You may want to come and kneel here at these front steps as a place of prayer, turning from sin. Some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And in the past, you've thought that Christianity is about keeping rules, about going to church. This morning, you realize it's about loving Jesus, about turning away from your sin and trusting what He's already done for you on the cross of Calvary, and coming to Him by faith so that He can change you from the inside out. Take out that old heart of stone and give you a heart of love. And you want to come to Him this morning. Oh, Jesus, save me. Change me. We're ready to help you in that commitment. When we stand together and sing, you come forward here and let us help you. Let's sing and celebrate the cross of the Lord Jesus together now as we stand together.